At first, I didn't think it was real. I woke up to this blinding light, and I was transported to another place. Pluto TV! Then I heard a voice.
Come with me if you want to live.
There were thousands of movies and shows, and they were all free.
The truth is ours.
It's just so beautiful.
On Pluto TV, free streaming of Terminator 2, Fringe, Arrow, The 100, and The X-Files may cause excitement, loss of sleep, and sudden belief in extraterrestrials. No credit cards or alien encounters necessary. Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Yay!
Yay! What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Bituation Room / The Left Hook with my former co-host of America Unhinged, Anzateo, Wajahat Ali. How you doing, man?
I'm doing as well as one can. Yesterday was Eid. Eid Mubarak, everyone. Everyone
Mubarak.
Came out, cleaned out. We ate really well. It was a nice brief reprieve from the chaos of the day, and now we're back on the bullshit.
I'm learning about so many new Eids. Like I thought Eid was done, but then I heard this is like the chill Eid after the end of Ramadan Eid, which is like really intense. And there's like a lot, like people, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that's like the Batman Eid. This is like the Robin Eid. That's like the big Eid, like the Eid al-Fitr. People like spend 30 days fasting and they're like, yo, we just fasted. Like, God, you better be real and we're going to celebrate. And this one Eid is like, oh, it's Eid. This is nice. But like, maybe I'll go to work. Maybe I'll go to prayer. And then, you know, it's Hajj is happening right now. And then what you do is you're supposed to sacrifice an animal, or not you personally, but you're supposed to feed people. So then it's like the festival of sacrifice. You feed people. People get dressed up. You eat lots of meat. If you're vegan, it's okay. Eat your tofu chicken.
I ate some lamb at an Eid celebration. And
wasn't it glorious?
It was really good. And then I realized my stomach is not used to eating lamb.
Because we're American. America's like, what's this? And also goat. You know, around the world, people eat goat, but
I could eat this one. My little
Americans are like, what's this goat? And I'm like, join the rest of the world. Goat is dope. And also lamb, if you know how to cook it.
Goat is dope.
We don't eat kittens.
We don't eat our beautiful cat who is, she purring so much.
How old?
Oh, she's getting up there, man. She's 10.
Oh, wow. She's a Grand Tifa, man.
She... You did not just say Grand Tifa. I love you.
She's a tuxedo. We have a tuxedo too. She's getting chunky in her second year. I'm like, all right.
No, she's got some arthritis. And my vet bill, which I haven't, it's like my vet bill's $1,300. And I was like,
my God.
I know. So I'm going to get a second opinion because I'm just like, I know she needs the x-rays to prove that she's got the arthritis and all this, but I'm like, $1,300, man. Guys, send in your super chats. My Patreon right now, I don't know if I'm doing a promo. It's a fun promo. It's called Free. I'm doing a free Patreon for a month, y'all. So there's no reason to not join. I'm also doing, watch these exclusive interviews, which if you're ever in LA, you got to sit down with me and do them.
Those are really good.
And they're called Hot Button. This is my interview series. And I'm rolling one out tomorrow with the author of the Daily Memo by Memo Torres on LA Taco. And that is Memo Torres. And we are talking a lot about how ICE is not really about going after immigrants.
Who would have thought?
I think it's kind of important in this moment, and as we've been sort of asked to, imagine, even the Democratic Party, in fact, especially the Democratic Party, imagine that our thoughts on DHS and on ICE and on whether that can be reformed and this and that is because, you know, we actually do want to, you know, go after the undocumented criminals. And it is about immigration and we need immigration reform. But actually all of that, as I think we're quickly learning, is irrelevant to the point of a secret police and, you know, CBP, ICE, all of these militias. And that is for mass control of the population.
And, you know, also, I just want to remind people, I'm glad you reminded folks, is that when it comes to ICE, they killed Renee Nicole Good. They killed Alex Preddy. ICE has, and that's nothing new. And that's on the only ones we know about because it was recorded. There are people who have died mysteriously, died in ICE custody.
64. 64 people
have died. And we haven't even talked about CBP. It's an interlocked, incestuous machine that works in tandem. Jen Budd, who's a whistleblower, who used to be a senior Border Patrol officer, says this is the culture, a culture of rape, culture of criminality, a culture of cruelty, a culture of racism, and they protect their own. There's very little to zero accountability. Although today, Francesca, I don't know if you saw the latest news a couple hours ago, the first arrest was made. An ICE officer was arrested in Texas. He was the one indicted in Minnesota for shooting a Venezuelan. Remember that one? There were two who were indicted. One of them would just pull out a gun at a driver because he was upset that their driver cut him off. Totally normal behavior. And this ICE agent was finally arrested, folks. And then I want to say all this because it's so egregiously awful, so racist, so violent, has not kept any of us safe. They're coming in literally grabbing up kids. They're going to schools. You saw average Americans, which is a synonym for white people, get pissed off because, like, why the hell are you in Minnesota? You weren't supposed to come get us. You were supposed to get the Latinos. And then a majority of Americans, Francesca, if I may, we don't get the money. We're independent. We're on the right side of history. So all we have is once in a while, I told you so. That's it. That's all we get, folks. Yeah. So this is our Met Gala. Let us just enjoy our Met Gala for a second, shall we? I'm wearing Kirkland. What are you wearing, Francesca?
Oh, this is like a, I don't, I got it off Poshmark. It's Poshmark,
beautiful. It's excellent. You're wearing it so well.
Thank you.
So as with our Met Gala, this is our Met Gala. This is our Eid. This is our Christmas. I told you so. Francesca, since last year, when he co-hosted America Unhinged, what did we say? ICE must be abolished. We said abolish ICE. And we were told, now, brown cow and half Asian, half white cow, you're crazy. You're radical. That's extreme. Francesca, can you tell the people what the majority of Americans now want?
They want to abolish ICE. I mean, this is, and I think it's really clear, I mean, that ICE doesn't give a shit about criminals. ICE doesn't give even really a shit about immigrants, given that a lot of the people that they target and the violence is directed at, number one, people who were doing things the right way, but also people who are responders like Alex Preddy and Nicole Good and hundreds and thousands of others who are targeted for the so-called crime of actually watching and documenting and protecting their own communities, doing rapid response and community defense. And so those are the people, I mean, remember Alex Preddy and Nicole Good, obviously, they are not immigrants, right? All of this really is about having a private army at the direction of an authoritarian. And the thing about, I want everyone to watch this interview that Memo and I did, and I think it's important, but like, the question is like, how far along are we, right? You know, you see like the amount of money Palantir got, the amount of surveillance that they're unveiling, the AI, apparatus that is being set up. But then also Peter Thiel just moved to Buenos Aires, Argentina. So ciao, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my question is like, Peter Thiel's moving. Does that mean he's afraid that his house is going to get egged or whatever? Like, like Sam Altman's? Or is, you know what I mean? Or does it mean he's like calling it quits on the U.S.? Or is he just, does he want to do the orchestration from abroad?
I think that the last point, and
I have to let the cat out, but please keep talking.
The last point was, Dre Dossier, she made a really good point. This is a transnational criminal syndicate, everyone. I want everyone to sit with that. This is not just America. This is a transnational criminal syndicate. Sarah Kendzior has been talking about it for a while. And every time you feel like, Waj, I don't know, that's a little too much, I give you the Epstein class. Not the Epstein files, the Epstein class. It's an international criminal syndicate who was in the email conversations with Jeffrey Epstein, who shared his perverse worldview of overturning the post-World War II order, right? Who believed in eugenics, who was against democracy, who loved Putin, who loved the right-wing bros, who loved crypto. Peter Thiel, he believes in a techno-fascist utopia. He's done with humanity. He's done with America. He's done with democracy. His philosopher of choice is Curtis Yarvin, who also has espoused this techno-fascist utopia. He says democracy is over. Two things can't exist. Democracy and capitalism cannot exist at the same time. So guess what they've given up on? Democracy. So Peter Thiel going to Argentina, for me, is the following. Number one, he's following the footsteps of his spiritual ancestors. The Nazis also went to Argentina.
Yes, they did. I'm not making this up.
They stole all that money, went to Argentina, and were able to hide out, number one. Number two, who's the leader of Argentina? Oh, yeah, mini-Trump, Javier Milei, who was bailed out and barely won his election thanks to $40 billion given by Donald Trump, right? So he does a handshake deal. He goes, hey, you got my back, I got your back. We can create right-wing authoritarianism in here. I'm just going to move to my side digs in Argentina, right? And then we could just engage in the Lex Luthor supervillain plot. And Javier's like, no problem. So he's relocating. But Francesca, I think some good news. The fact that he has to relocate is a sign to me that the billionaires realize, oh, shit, the peasants are actually getting out the pitchforks.
Which is so funny because as someone who lived in Argentina for many years, I always have to mention, if you think the peasants go quietly into the night in a country like Argentina, you got another thing coming, okay? This is the graveyard of neoliberal capitalism. So mark my words, although Argentina is having a reactionary moment, I have every faith that it will also be the graveyard of late stage capitalism and the billionaire oligarch globalists who are trying to control us. Don't ever put one past Argentina. And I hope, you know, the motoqueros on their motorcycles, the chorros, motochorros, as they call them, which is basically thieves on motorcycles in a disrespectful term. I hope you know what to do. I hope you see Peter Thiel. All right. Those streets are not narrow like Barcelona. You can get at this man. I'm not saying do violence. I'm just saying, you know, maybe you steal his car or something.
I'm just saying make his life uncomfortable.
Make his life uncomfortable.
I'm perfectly fine. And I think it's a really important point. I think it's you could clip this up, MAGA. What Jihad Ali says, make their lives uncomfortable. Last time I checked, that's legal. That's peaceful. Make their lives uncomfortable. We have free speech. I can use my free speech to make your life uncomfortable. So if I see you walking down the street, I can say, oh, hey, fascist. Or I can say, oh, Stephen Miller, you're friggin' fugly. Hey, here's budget Goebbels. Make their life as uncomfortable as possible because, folks, they're fragile. They're brittle. And this is the thing that you've seen. You know, I go back to Elon Musk. Look at the psychology of these people. They live in bubbles, right, Francesca? Same thing with Donald Trump. And because they live in these artificial manufactured bubbles, they think the world will worship them like they're fanboys and their bots.
Yep.
So remember Elon Musk? It was the Bay Area, if I remember correctly. Dave Chappelle brought him out, and Elon Musk thought he would get this warm welcome and everyone booed him. And the story goes that Elon Musk then retreated to the bathroom, locked himself in the bathroom, and his aides were worried that they would have to call 911 because he would harm himself. They're fragile. They break down. So I think the more and more they see us and hear us mocking them, ridiculing them, if you don't believe me, why'd they buy Twitter? How dare you criticize us? We'll buy Twitter. How dare you criticize Israel and genocide? We'll buy CBS. How dare these youth tweet against Netanyahu? We'll buy TikTok. That's how fragile they are, Francesca. So I'm all about making them uncomfortable.
Yes. And, you know, Argentina, you guys got to find him, he can't adopt y'all's culture. Okay. This is not about drinking mate and eating chorizo at the parrilla. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he's doing all the elitist things. He's going to like all the elite places, Bariloche down in Patagonia. He's going to like Punta del Este, which is a place in Uruguay. He's like living the little elitist life, with his husband, by the way, which once again is just sort of that cruel twist of, you know, libertarian, you know, hypocrisy, where they invest so heavily in politicians who want trans people dead, who are anti-gay, who are, you know, deeply against living your own truth. But they can do it because they're rich enough to X themselves out of the entire equation. So anyway,
Scott Bessent yesterday. Scott Bessent is a gay man who made just the strangest faces as he sat there and performed for Donald Trump. And it was perfectly fine rationalizing Donald Trump putting his ugly face on a $250 bill when most people don't have $250 in their pocket. And Scott Bessent was like, yeah, look at the $250 bill. It's perfectly fine. It's why not? What's wrong with this? He's a gay man. Grinnell's a gay man. Lindsey Graham is not gay. He is a heterosexual Southern man who likes a female vagina.
Okay. Well, we're gonna leave that there because I do want to talk about what's actually happening with ICE right now. There's a hunger strike going on in Delaney Hall in New Jersey, which is an ICE detention facility. The family members are protesting outside. The supporters of those family members have been protesting. They have been met with insane amounts of violence, tear gas, batons, beatings, you know, and this, by the way, is the place that a year ago, the mayor of Newark, Baraka, I'm forgetting his first name.
Ray Baraka.
I think so. He was arrested, taken to like a black site, and Representative McIver,
Ross Baraka,
and then Representative McIver was also arrested. And then we sort of forgot about what was going on. And apparently, for people who have been touring, the food is moldy. The medical attention is scant at best. People are being denied meds. A woman miscarried while there. And now there is a legit hunger strike. And this is mirroring. There's a hunger strike here in California in Adelanto, the detention facility here. So it is getting heated, and for good cause. And, you know, Senator Andy Kim of New Jersey was brutalized, tear gassed the other day outside. And he said this, and I just think it's a, you know, we can discuss after. But here was his thoughts on what happened.
Myself and a number of others certainly got irritation in our eyes. My throat was burning. It was something that was really painful to watch. I mean, Chris, I'll tell you, like, I have to say the ease with which it seems like violence is emerging in our streets in America, we cannot normalize this. Violence in America, it should not be easy. It should not be inevitable. And this is something that I'm worried is going to continue on in the coming days. I can't say for certain that we'll pass the worst of it. But this is directly related to that reconciliation bill. And I hope the American people see it next week when we're voting on in the Senate. We cannot give ICE billions of dollars more with no accountability when American families are getting nothing here and nothing to help them with their affordability crisis.
Okay, well, they're getting a UFC ring on the lawn of the White House. So
oh my God.
Don't ever say, we can talk about that later, but
we will.
He, you know, this is just one of the many people. I mean, they don't care if you're an elected representative. They are brutalizing you no matter what.
Senator Padilla, remember that? California. While the cameras were on, Francesca.
There's got to be, like, something jumps the fucking shark when Senator Padilla calmly speaking to Christine Ohm, DHS head, is wrestled to the ground when he's literally doing nothing. Here's Noam's replacement, Mark Wayne Mullen, claiming that actually the reason the people are on hunger strike is because they don't have their ethnic food.
I'm not joking by saying this. They're on the hunger strike because they don't like the bologna sandwiches we're feeding them. I'm not required to feed them their ethnic food. I'm required to have a certain calorie count. And we hit those calorie counts. I got to provide them a clean, safe place to lay down. We provide that for them. We provide medical care for them. And guess what? They also provide commissary, which I think that's kind of a gift. And so any of these left Democrats that want to, you know, provide commissary on their books, feel free. Take your personal money. Provide all the money you want to for these detainees. In fact, tell us who you want to put money on the books for, and we'll make sure we'll facilitate that.
Fuck you. How about that? Fuck you. I'm sorry. Like, first of all, if you actually gave out the number or the donation link for people to get food into your detainees, you know what? We would flood that shit. We would absolutely, because why? Because we believe in humanity. We believe people deserve to have medicine and food and need, and there are, by the way, people who have said they will self-deport, so-called. They're fine to leave this country. They're not being allowed to leave the country. They are a cash cow. They are a pawn in the cash cow scheme of these private detention facilities that have gotten, you know, billions of dollars from this government, which, by the way, many of the facilities then have been purchased and rented at exorbitant rates, like 300, 400 times what it costs, because they are what? Connected to Trump officials. What's his face? Nutlick. Nutlick's kids Art Lutnick, for those of you who don't know who I'm talking about, Commerce Secretary, I believe, is connected to some of the warehouse rentals where these facilities are then being set up. So, like, it is so gross. And then to say, oh, they want their ethnic food. No, this is not Waj talking about how goat is good and how, like, you know, once you prepare it well. No, these are people who have, like, limitations on what they can eat. There are pregnant women. And according to most recently, the violence outside, which, again, just like all of this violence, though, you don't have to ask. ICE starts it, y'all. ICE is starting it, okay? They do not like being protested. That is violence to them, right? But because of that violence, there's been violence inside now, more so. Two detainees have been hospitalized. And let's just also say that 64 people have been killed either in detention or immediately following, meaning like that blind man who was left on a fucking bus stop and died in the cold because ICE didn't have the decency to return him to his fucking home. So those are the things that have been happening to people. And lastly, sorry, before I kick it over to you, what they say to every family member whose loved one dies in detention is that, quote, they received the best care they ever had in their lives.
What I'll say is this. You could tell a lot about a society by the way they treat their incarcerated people. America incarcerates more people than any other country on earth. I just want to remind you all that China has a population of over 1 billion. India has a population of more than 1 billion. But America currently incarcerates more than 2 million people. 80% of people who are incarcerated are poor. Poor people, all right? Furthermore, we find money for a ballroom. We find money for Trump's arch. We find money for this bunker. We find money for a UFC fight. We find money to dole out money to Donald Trump's kids. This just came on ProPublica yesterday that the Pentagon, that's our taxpayer dollar money, found $650 million to invest in a company associated with Donald Trump. That's not waste. $1 trillion tax cuts permanent for the rich. And what people always forget, that comes out of what? Medicaid. So get sicker, get poorer, work harder, and guess what? If you get out of line, guess what? With that $1 trillion billionaire bill, there was $175 billion for ICE and private prisons. What was the number one stock that shot up the night that Donald Trump was elected? Private prisons. That stock shot right up because people are like, oh, the evening's going to be good. And if you create detention centers and private prisons, well, how do private prisons and detention centers eat? They eat with bodies. And if I may, I'll go personal. If you read my book, someone reads my book, both my parents were incarcerated. Let me tell you about incarcerated people in commissaries. It costs money to buy from the commissary. It costs money back in the day. They used to milk it. So even calling people became so expensive that people didn't call. So then people had to resort to emails. And then if they didn't like you, they'd take away your email privileges. So now you're in limbo. You can't even connect with your family. You can't even call, right? My mom said that when she was incarcerated, like the food was so terrible that there were rat droppings in the food. My mom's like, you know, if you meet my mom, she's like this religious practicing lady. She's like, I'll pass. So I used to go and give money to the commissary. My mom used to call me. I had to give money for that and say, thank you, Berta. I was able to eat something. Furthermore, suppose you think inmates are pieces of shit. All these poor people who are incarcerated, they're terrible. Kill them all. Okay. Right. I can't change your opinion. What can I say? But our soldiers, right? Everyone loves soldiers. Did you see the photos of the food that the soldiers who are wasting their time surrounding the Gulf? Did you see the photos that they're eating? Do you see that?
Yes.
Is that edible in any way, shape, or form?
No. I mean, it's not going to give, I mean, and like, first of all, that is a disgrace, but the language that with which we talk about people who are incarcerated takes on a very different tone and very dehumanizing. And again, it reminds me of the ways that Israeli prison and prisoners treat their detained because Mark Wayne Mullen in another interview said, we're giving them the calories they need. And there is something truly grotesque about reducing people's food and nourishment to calories because it shows that they're tracking them. We're making sure you don't die from hunger, but you won't thrive. You won't get better. If you are prone to sickness, you will fall ill. But we're not going to starve you, right?
That's right.
It's the way that Netanyahu and, you know, the Israeli leadership would talk about putting Gazans on a diet. That was when they felt like they were getting too fat or whatever. Calorie count, how much food aid was coming into Gaza, of course, because Israel controls it. And so again, this is in the far right in this country, mirrors the far right there. They love the way Israel treats detainees, Palestinians, because it's like as if they don't belong to the land, have not worked there, don't have any roots. And they're like, oh, just like our undocumented people, who, of course, we know all those things are myths and lies about them. They are from here. They have families. They do contribute. They do pay taxes. They do work hard, all of these things. And so I'm just reminded of that. I guess I wanted to ask you, Waj, what do you make of this? You know, before Memorial Day, right, Congress went on recess because they bristled at this $1.7 billion anti-weaponization fund. And kind of like, you know, they were like, that's like a little breaky poo, even though that meant they didn't green light more funding for ICE and DHS. What do you think about maybe some of this violence we're seeing, the stories we're seeing, that even the ICE agent being held accountable in Texas, as you're saying? Like, how do you think this bodes for getting that funding reconciliation package off, you know, through the door?
We live in the seventh circle of hell, so we have to share, we have to find these nuggets of good news and share it. But you see things bubbling, folks. I'm glad you brought that up, because yes, a judge came out today and said, F you for your terrorist slush fund, where literally Trump is stealing our money to pay off violent insurrectionists, including people with records for, you know, rape and neo-Nazis and people who tried to come in, like, you know, kill Nancy Pelosi and Mike Pence. They're going to get 6 to 7 figures as you work 2 jobs to stay broke. So a judge came out and said, nah, but Francesca's right about that. Before the recess, it was like about 25 Republicans like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And a very few of them publicly said, I don't know, we got to think twice about that, right? Because it's so egregious. It's a slap in the face, especially as Americans can't afford grocery prices, especially as Americans can't afford gas prices, right? Donald Trump has betrayed 3 major promises to his base, which is why I think in the last 2 months, you're seeing fissures. No more forever wars. Apparently war with friggin' everybody. I'm going to bring down the price of everything. His dumbass, his choices with the war on Iran and trade wars, everything's gone up. I'm going to release the Epstein files. Oh, wait, I most likely raped girls with Epstein, allegedly. I'm all up in the Epstein files. Ain't no way I'm going to release that shit. So these are 3 massive broken promises. And now you're seeing like that Jenga tower was like barely holding on, I think, Francesca. But like 2 big pieces came out in the last 2 months. You see it about to crumble. So that was like a big shift. Him going against Massey. Young Republicans love Massey. Massey's like, all right, peace out. Before I leave, I'm going to take you out. Tillis, Cassidy, they got a little strength. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker, he's gone against Tucker, Candace Owens. Then you saw also, this was a win, about a week and a half ago, they put up the House, the Republicans put up that bill to give the green light for war. They had to remove the bill because they didn't have enough votes, Francesca.
Right.
And then you also saw in South Carolina a couple of days ago.
Well, didn't Fetterman put them over the edge there on one of those votes?
This was a new one. This was the House. So the House, they didn't have the votes. So they're like, shit, we'll just pull it. And then also what happened in South Carolina. South Carolina is like, we're racist. But these gerrymandered maps are so egregiously bad that we'll just ignore you and not do it. So these small defections, Francesca, add up. I don't know if you saw a CNN poll. Young men, these bros, you know, these bros who like, you could say gay now, and you could say retard. And you know what? I like Shane Gillis and I like roast comedy. I think I could be a roast comedian. You know how they voted for Donald Trump? In 1 year, the under 30 bros, -66.
Under 30 is bros an official category now?
Yeah, I call it the Shane Gillis bros, the Joe Rogan bros.
Yeah. Shane Gillis is not quite Joe Rogan, but I feel you. But this Waj will get them back.
There you go. You can't make this shit up.
A new photo of the UFC arena construction at the White House. This is this week. Don't you feel like this is enough to get those bros back? It's beautiful. I'm not good at Photoshop and I refuse to do AI. Well, I'm okay at Photoshop, but you know, the picture of like the workers in like, you know, the 30s, you know, kind of working on an FDR project who are like sitting on the edge of like a crane eating their lunch. Classic photo.
Yep.
I kind of want to Photoshop them on top of you.
I think
it's a bunch of dudes podcasting.
Have you ever been to, if you ever gone to Dubai or Qatar, Saudi Arabia, you see how they, the rich surround themselves with blinders on. I think if you have those poor Dubai workers sweating in the sun, like barely surviving, that would be probably more apt.
Well, what's so funny about the workers in Qatar, and we're on the precipice of the World Cup, is that like no one thought that like by the year 2026, the United States would have more and worse human rights violations than Qatar, like in 2022. You're like, okay, well, remember at the time it was like, wow. And, you know, and I worked for Jazeera, you know, which gets some money from, you know, Qatar, obviously. People will be like, wow, Francesca supports slave labor. Francesca's a slaver and da 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 da. You work for Al Jazeera. How dare you? You know, I was not working during the World Cup, but now it's like, cool, the U.S. has no human rights crimes in this country. We've never abused a day laborer. When? But right, here we are.
Can I make a point to that real quick? Because you make a good point, you know, because the world, we live in a world and the world is watching us. I was talking to a few friends of mine, you know, Pakistan, where my family's from. I've been many times, beset with so many injustices, inequalities, martial law, corruption, right? Everyone out for themselves. We were talking about this. It's like, it's well known. The 1% literally rape and pillage, the military, the aristocracy, feudalism, right? Even then, in Pakistan, you cannot be this egregiously shameless in the grift. They at least lie, they massage it, they put some God on it. You know what I'm saying, Francesca? Like, none of them openly come out and say, do you care about the financial conditions of Pakistanis? They'll lie. He goes, of course I do. I want every Pakistani to have food and shelter. Trump just comes in and goes, not one bit. I don't care about a bit. I'm building a bunker. And by the way, here's $1.8 billion for all the gangsters. And oh, by the way, here's my UFC fight. So even in Pakistan, people are like, bro, this is hella corrupt.
Right, right. There has to be some sort of nod and a wink to, you know, populism. And that's sort of what Trump was known for and was good at in 2015, 2016, and to obviously a much lesser extent in 2024. Still waiting on the healthcare plan, the outlines of a plan to come together. We do just have outlines of, you know, the UFC on the White House lawn with the massive ballroom being built next to it as everything gets destroyed. You know, it's beautiful. 250 years. It was time. It's time for the country to end, y'all. And what a way to end. Not with a whimper, but with a bang. A UFC knockout fight. And look, for all the men who this is turning on, yes, you got fired from your union job. And yes, your water is poisonous to drink. And no, your wife was not able to get a safe abortion because you cannot afford a fourth kid. But instead, you got a UFC cage match, baby. I mean, at this point, he should keep it up and let the poors just fight themselves. We're really in Hunger Games territory.
Actually, Gladiator. This, you know, people. I'm glad you mentioned Hunger Games because that's where we're at. Hunger Games, The Long Walk, Rollerball, Running Man, Squid Games. But honestly, Rome.
Running
Man. Happened. You know what? Should I feed the plebs or should I give them a show where the incarcerated get eaten by lions? You know what? These incarcerated and these slaves, they're trash. And oh, look, there's a black and a poor and you know, whatever like ethnicity they hated. Let's just bring them all out. The poor is the ethnics that we don't like and the incarcerated. And let's just kill them. And then the emperor used to come up and say, up or down, up, down. And Donald Trump, you know, now I think his mangled arm has just enough to like maybe give enough energy to the thumb. This is what we're witnessing. And folks, I think, Francesca, a kind of good news here, because, again, we live in the seventh circle of hell, so who knows. I don't think this is working, because I remember, I think it was last month, UFC has always been an in-kind donation to Trump. I've been saying it for years.
This is Linda McMahon was from WWE, UFC.
WWE, okay, Dana White is UFC, right?
Right, right.
And
right.
So Trump, I think it was last month, walked out to a main fight, and he did not get that type of rapturous applause. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then a couple hours
ago, was kind of like openly leering over and like kind of touching one of the fighters.
He was like, well, this is because he's in his gay phase right now.
He really is in his gay phase.
He's in his gay phase. He goes, Jackson Dart, those thick trunk legs, beautiful legs.
Look out, women.
Like, yeah, look at you're so good looking. You're handsome. And you're like, whoa, bro. I did YMC. I'm not making this up, folks. These are exact quotes from Trump. I did YMCA. Melania's like, why are you doing that gay song? The gays love it. I mean, he's going in his gay phase. I'm not judging. I just wish as he experiments sexually,
he's in his gay era.
He doesn't like, you know, he just reduces the hate against the LGBTQ. But a good piece of news came out.
Yes.
Today, they have to recruit people. This is from Huffington Post. The Pentagon is trying to recruit troops to watch the UFC fight at the White House.
Hell yeah.
That's a good sign. That means even they're like, this is ridiculous.
Well, no, what it, you know what it means, though? It means they can fill it. Like, I'm sorry, they can get a bunch of whack jobs, but they're very aware of the people who would come to that. Like, motherfuckers are going to be wearing beer helmets. They're going to be showing their dicks. They're going to be, you know, like touching reporters. Like, they don't want that energy. They want it to be like UFC, but buttoned up. You know, they want it. So they want like army guys to be out there, you know, looking like official, like they have to pretend. It's like, I'm reminded of when Trump danced with the sword and like the National Guard or whomever behind him had to pretend that wasn't the most disrespectful thing they had ever seen.
Oh, he had a parade. People forget. Remember that, his parade?
So his... And I did just want to shout out to Love to Bud on YouTube. This is where mine goes. Trump blew Bubba. Like he did that. Yeah. Guys, it's in the Epstein files. Jeffrey Epstein writes his brother, who, by the way, his brother way more implicated than I think we've been letting him off for at this point. That like, you know, hey, are there photos of Trump blowing Bubba? Epstein reply, oof, I thought I had problems. And you're like, that doesn't seem like an honest reply to a joke if it was a joke.
Yeah.
But lastly, speaking of men.
Even at the Epstein files, I mean, today, folks, every time you forget, you can't forget, because it's the biggest political cover-up in modern history. Pam Bondi thinks she can hide from it. She can't. She didn't testify under oath. She threw Todd Blanche under the bus. And I just want to remind everyone really quick. I always try to remind people, because I bring the receipts on this. Pam Bondi was attorney general. She found out last April, according to the Wall Street Journal, that Donald Trump was all up in the files. She told Donald Trump. Donald Trump lied to the American public about his appearance in the files. They've been covering it up since then. She asked the FBI agents to work round-the-clock shifts, not to actually go get these rapists, but to scrub Donald Trump's name from the files. Todd Blanche, who's acting attorney general, was then dispatched to go make a deal with Ghislaine Maxwell. Less than a week later, Ghislaine Maxwell went from Florida to a minimum security camp where she's getting preferential treatment. Donald Trump has been asked twice, will you pardon Ghislaine Maxwell? Hasn't said no. Last month, House Republicans said, maybe we should pardon Ghislaine Maxwell if she'll give us information. This is the biggest cover-up in modern history. It's happening in real time. And now Todd Blanche is the acting attorney general. He is the phantom menace behind it all, but Pam Bondi was part and parcel of it.
Okay, I hear you, but also... The White House tweeted, today we remember a legend. On this day, Harambe would have celebrated another birthday, an icon that became part of history. Tomorrow marks 10 years since we lost him. He became a symbol of loyalty, strength, and chaos. Gone but not forgotten. Rest easy to a true patriot. Forever in our hearts, Harambe.
Get it? Get it, Francesca? Harambe? Get the meme that we used to use 10 years ago?
But this is fucking wild. To your point, this is all distraction from the fact that the government's full of pedophiles and people who are covering up for pedophiles and being like, hey, remember when the Donald Trump and the alt-right, remember when the alt-right was a thing and like we used to love each other and you did it for the lulz. Remember the lulz? Right. I'm so sorry that you can't find a job or afford healthcare and that your, you know, family is starving and you have to move back in with your parents. I'm so sorry you'll never be able to afford a home in your entire life. I'm so sorry that your children's school got shut up. But like, remember the memes? Remember when you and I had it? Remember how you can say the R word now? We're working on the N word. We're working on it. We promise. For now, Harambe. Like, it's so fucking transparent. And oh my God, as someone who's like, this means nothing to, and this does nothing for me, i.e. I'm not a straight cis white man. It's so embarrassing for white manhood. Like, I'm so embarrassed for y'all. Like, do you realize how fucking embarrassing this is? This is like if President Francesca Fiorentini did fucking nothing in the White House and then was like, look at this Cardi B Ocher meme. Ocher. And it, like nobody cares, Francesca. We want, you know, we want a livable wage. We want socialist revolution. You promised heads on pikes and all we got to do was beat Stephen Miller with chanclas, but not to death.
No, but it's a very astute observation. I'm glad you brought it up because it's like that old rock star who has nothing left and is reduced to playing the hits, but in like a seedy Las Vegas lounge. And yeah. Look at their attacks on Tallarico. Yeah. Oh, he's gay. He's vegan. Remember transgender? He's transgender. And everyone else is like, bro, I can't afford groceries, but he's gay. I don't think he is gay. And also, I can't afford groceries. Aren't transgender people weird? Yeah, but they're not the ones building a billion-dollar ballroom and not the ones who led me into a war. And now that I think about it, transgender people did nothing to me. And I feel kind of bad that I picked on them. And yeah, I can't afford groceries.
They're not weird compared to like the billionaires who like infuse blood from, you know, nubile boys and measure their nighttime erections against their sons, like Brian Armstrong trying to live.
Up, by the way.
I'm not making that up. No, so men are not okay. I think we've established that. I know you have to leave.
I do. But this was great. I wish I could, but I think you're onto it. This goes back full circle. He's losing young men too, folks. Young men, young white men, another poll came out today. He's shrinking. The base is shrinking. The young men said exactly what Francesca said. Dude, I thought like, that was funny saying like the R word, but I can't like get laid because I can't like afford a date. And my dad now can't retire, and my mom's driving like DoorDash, and this sucks, bro.
Yeah.
His base is being radicalized, Francesca, in real time.
Yep. 100%. Wajahat Ali, the Substack is The Left Hook. It is free. Go subscribe and support, honestly, a couple bucks a month, $5 if you can afford it, goes a long way. Waj has a minivan. He hasn't mentioned it in an inside of 40 minutes, but I will.
Thank you.
He's a Costco dad with a minivan and too many kids.
This is true. This is all true. And I have cats now. I have cats. So Francesca and I do this, but if you have some money, first give it to Francesca because she's doing all this great content for free. And just let you know, folks, if this makes it easier, real quick, I was forced to go to Starbucks. I never do because I needed like coffee or else I would die. And it was like the only thing across the street. I'm sharing the story. I went there. I got an Americano, like a medium Americano.
Love an Americano.
You know how much it cost? $4.50. And then, you know, because I try to be generous, I added a tip. So if you can pay $5.50 for a shitty cup of coffee, is 1 hour of Francesca worth at least $5 a month? I think
so. Thank you. One shitty coffee. I will be your espresso. Bye, Waj. Take care. And if people want to remain on the Substack, I got a couple other stories to get to. I think everyone should watch the show Succession. And before I get into that, why? I just want to say, people are policing me because I'm swearing a lot, but I'm sorry when like innocent people are detained and die in detention centers on taxpayer dime. I just, the F-bomb comes out, but Bedart Pelchit tells me I should say bloody instead of the F-word. Bloody doesn't hit, you know? And the Bay photo, speaking of detention, and DHS says, hey, Mark Wayne, bologna sandwiches are ethnic food for white people. Bingo. Stakes is high on YouTube saying, check white man checking in, incredibly embarrassing. Yeah. And welcome, Kathy McIntyre. I'm so glad you could watch a little bit live. And yeah, people are there. Y'all are policing me. Don't cancel me for dropping the F-bomb. Stakes is High also says, it's always a good idea to put the definition of walking CTE in charge of Homeland Security. This regime is just rotten to its miserable core, in reference to Mark Wayne Mullen. And thank you so much, Real John Lithium, for the love. Okay, you guys have to remember this scene from Succession. I'm not giving anything away. So Roman Roy is watching on his phone a rocket launch, and it explodes. It explodes, and he just sort of furrows his brow, takes a really funny breath in. puts it back in his pocket and leaves the bathroom. This, of course, is parodying, you know, the oligarchs and specifically the Murdochs for all of their money and how inevitably the rich invest in space travel and rockets and all that. And here we have the very real same thing. This is Jeff Bezos's rocket that was supposed to go, I don't know, I guess farther than it did maybe, but let's see how far it gets. This is his Blue Origin flight that he paid for with all of the money that he didn't pay in taxes, all of the money that he's stealing from his workers, the bathroom breaks that he doesn't allow his workers to go on. Take a look. Here it goes. Oh, it's got, is it supposed to burn like that? No, that feels, God, that's so satisfying to watch. But that, is that, I'm not good at space stuff. People don't like me for that, but is the rocket supposed to do that? Does it eventually go to space after that? I'm not, no? Oh, dude, that sucks. That sucks. But let's just add it. Like, I just have to, every time this happens, you know, I need to, the fireball is so satisfying just to feel. I can feel its warmth. Like, I am warmed by this fireball. And granted, terrible things to the environment, terrible things for CO2 emissions, terrible things for the surrounding, I don't know, wildlife and the air quality, but good things for this hubristic Lex Luthor ass, you know, no matter how buff you get, still a bald man, cheap ass, you know, mail order bride, fucking corny, tacky billionaire known as Jeff Bezos, who recently said he doesn't have to pay more in taxes. And even if he did, it like wouldn't even help the poor.
And Elizabeth Warren has made this point repeatedly. I think she's made it in reference to you and others, are able to pay a lower tax rate, even though you're paying an enormous sum in taxes, a lower tax rate than maybe I am.
These people sometimes say that you know, I don't pay taxes. That's true. I pay billions of dollars in taxes. And it's a perfect, again, if people want me to pay more billions,
right,
then let's have that debate. But don't pretend, you know, that's going to solve the problem. You could double the taxes I pay, and it's not going to help that teacher in Queens. I promise you.
Bullshit. It would help that teacher in Queens if that teacher in Queens got a raise, if that teacher in Queens got better health care or free health care and their union didn't have to negotiate for health care because there was universal health care in New York State. If the teacher in Queens had a free transportation, that would make all the difference in the world. If we taxed your ass, and I love that he picks Queens, because it's like a little bit of his little Mamdani thing. And he's like, you know, first of all, the look is young Smurf turning into Grandpa Smurf. I don't know why he looks like a Smurf, but Bezos looks like a Smurf. Buff, you know, we can, if the question is, I should pay more in taxes, we can have that debate. I love the way pseudo-intellectual billionaire fucks, like, sorry, bloody billionaires, think that this is all about who wins in the realm of ideas, that we can have the debate. And if you beat me in an episode of Surrounded by Jubilee, sure, I will, you know, pay more in taxes. And buddy, the only time we want to beat you in a Surrounded manner is not in a debate, but again, with our chanclas, with our shoes. Do not worry, my friend. You and your ilk and your greed and your continued wealth hoarding and your continued denial of Amazon workers their basic rights everything from the right to unionize to the right to not piss in a bottle when they're delivering your packages for you, to say nothing of the vendors and the small businesses that you gouge every time you make it impossible for them to establish a business outside of your marketplace. You know, we're not trying to debate you, dog. We're trying to beat you. We're trying to win. We're trying to make you irrelevant. We're trying to tax you out of existence. And yes, we would have a whole lot more funneled into our schools, our infrastructure. Because I just saw your infrastructure, your billions of dollars, go up in fucking flames. When if you had directed all of that money to a superintendent and to schools, we could have very well figured out how to better use it to actually, you know, prepare us for the future. Go live on Mars. Oh, what's that? What's that? You can't? You can't? That's crazy. There's no oxygen. It's too hot. There's no water. The fuck? What planet? Is there a planet with water? Where is there a planet with water? Go there. Go there. Implode. Feel G-force gravity on your, you know, your souped up store-bought muscles. Speaking of technology that has gone terribly awry, I don't know if you guys have been following, but last week, Southern California had a very fun little conundries. It was really fun. There was a chemical tank in a place called Garden Grove, and it was full with 7,000 gallons of a substance that was like a plastic, like a liquefied plastics called methyl methacrylate, a highly flammable chemical. That we'll talk about what it's for, but it was a highly flammable chemical. And what was happening was that the heat of this gas chemical tank was getting too high. So the temperature was raising and it was at about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, which is too hot for this chemical. So the tank, much like an episode of The Simpsons, was bulging, I think is the scientific term. It was bulging. And experts said this tank is either going to explode, just like the fiery ball we witnessed of Blue Origin, or it is going to slowly leak out toxic gas and poison the entire surrounding neighborhood, which, of course, happens to be working class, predominantly black and brown. You know, don't get me started on environmental racism because someone's going to say that I'm participating in woke DEI. But luckily, fortunately, cooling crews, they just did a lot of like fanning, cooling, water. The temperature also went down. So the 40,000 people that were straight up evacuated, those 40,000 people could move back into their homes and everything's like better now. Case closed, right? Not quite, because the community is pissed as hell. And it seems like, according to The Intercept and according actually to the Palestine Youth Movement that was researching this, the company behind the chemical leak was building F-35 parts amid rush orders from the U.S. and Israel. The military contractor whose leak displaced the 50,000 people makes millions aiding fighter jet production for Lockheed Martin. The substance is the substance used in like the bubble cockpit of an F-35 fighter jet. And so that has gotten the people of Orange County and of Garden Grove pretty fucking pissed off. And they are now calling for, and good for them, an arms embargo. The company is called GKN, GKN out of Garden Grove. You can go to actionnetwork.org to sign that. We residents of Garden Grove and Orange County stand united, demanding that the Garden Grove City Council and Mayor shut down the GKN aerospace facility, stop the expansion of GKN in Garden Grove, and impose a moratorium on all future development or expansion of military manufacturing facilities in the city. And look, this is very important, right? Like, it's important to connect the dots. The war economy is also a threat to our survival in every which way. Not only the carbon emissions, not only what happens abroad, not only the devastation of the land and the soil and the drinking water when these F-35 drop their payload, but also on the communities in the United States that are meant to deal with, you know, the overheating tanks of chemicals because of this speed up of wanting these F-35s operating. And, you know, some states in this country have built their industries and their economies around the military industrial complex. And some of them, like California, have not. And so there is no reason, especially, and I look, solidarity across all states that are dealing with this, but there's no reason for this state to be reliant on this. This is not a job creator. This is not where, you know, I mean, granted, the OC's historically been where I think a lot of weapons industries have been. So I a little bit take that back. But we have to change the economy, right? We have to change this economy. In fact, I did a whole episode of Behind the Bastards on like the history of the OC and how it was connected to the rise of the far right. And it really is because all of these weapons contractor dudes were kind of part of it. But anyway, I digress. Here is someone from that initiative, this arms embargo. And I don't know her name. So if you do, or if I can find it, forgive me and I will try to find her name.
Garden Grove cannot continue to give permits, land, infrastructure, and political cover to a military manufacturer that has endangered this community and that participates in the global arms supply chain that contributes to the genocide of the Palestinian people. We are united around three demands. First, to reject GKN's expansion. Second, to shut down GKN. And third, to implement an arms embargo by imposing a moratorium on military manufacturing facilities and expansions to existing ones. Garden Grove cannot continue to give permits, land, infrastructure, and political.
So that's it's great. So I love the springing into action, the connecting it to the wars abroad, the, you know, connecting. I mean, these are 50,000 residents who are pissed off. And granted, not all of them are like, I'm mad because, you know, this is an making F-35s to, you know, kill Palestinians abroad or, you know, bomb Iran. But like, it's a start. Like, this is like how you mobilize. This is how you connect the dots. And so all solidarity to Garden Grove, because these are the kinds of things that we need to be organizing around in the future. I'm sorry. I try to raise the clips, but you know, Fridays and some of these days I don't have production help, so I can't. Before we go, I just have to say that, you know, people think that this administration isn't doing anything and that, like, I don't know, taking away vaccine schedules for infants and toddlers might be causing, you know, a breakout of measles or unstoppable internal bleeding within infants. But like, these are two snakes, and that's our health secretary catching them.
So what are they? Well, they're having sex, son. So what were they?
So there's Dr. Oz in the background. What are they? They were having sex. And then Cheryl Hines, just a true disgrace. And I look, shout out to all the snake people out there. look, I don't hate your ilk, but you know you're weird. You know you probably shouldn't be the head of an entire department of health. You know that you've, you know, tasted scat at some point, you know, and been like, that's a raccoon. Like, if you are this into snakes, and granted, this is someone who was, this is a snake guy. He would get off as like a child, you know, probably get off with snakes, but, you know, feeding rodents to his snakes and like being the cool kid for doing that. And then he fed heroin to his brother and he killed himself. But you know, as did his, one of his ex-wives, cause he cheated on her so many times. But, you know, I just want to say, like, don't ever say that like this government isn't doing anything for you, because not only is Bobby, you know, catching two snakes in Dr. Oz's rooftop veranda, but he's also blowing the whistle on circumcision, y'all. And don't you at me on this. I know you don't have to circumcise. You can let your dick, it's fine. I'm not here to foreskin police, okay? You do whatever the hell you want. Trust me. I support all foreskin, unforeskin, cut, uncut, whatever you want to do. But the amount of obsession that RFK Jr. has with young kids' genitals, puberty, and autism is just wild. And here we have another cringeworthy little episode with the whole cabinet. And Trump is agreeing that there is a lot of focus that actually, yeah, circumcision does lead to, wait for it, autism.
There's also many other confirmation studies. There's two studies that show children who are circumcised early have double the rate of autism. It's highly likely because they're given Tylenol. So, you know, none of this is this positive, but all of it is stuff that we should be paying attention to.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a...
Wait, this is an old clip, but it's so good. I'm sorry. The baby dicks. I think it is. This is an old clip because it was during the shutdown. But, like, anyway, I'm sorry. Just for old time's sake, maybe I had to play that. This is not new. Because it did, everyone did seem a little more chipper than they are now. I just, you know, baby dicks, Bubba dicks. That's the name of the show, Baby Dicks and Bubba Dicks. You guys, what are you waiting for? Go to patreon.com/habituationroom. You get a free month of access to all of my exclusive content. That means my hot button interviews, which I've done with Melina Abdullah of Black Lives Matter Grassroots, of Kenneth Mejia, who is the LA City Controller, with Chani Nicholas, who is an astrologer and an author and a Democratic Socialist, who people got so mad at me because how dare I believe in astrology? It's not like I wake up and plan my whole life around it, but you know, I'm a good Virgo. And of course, Leo rising, and coming out tomorrow, my long form interview with LA Tacos Memo Torres, who has been documenting the ICE raids every single day for a year. Get at that for free. And next Tuesday, we won't have a show because it is primary day. But next Wednesday, I am going to do a breakdown. Wednesday, 12 p.m., a little bit early. I'll be joined by Rachel Reyes of the LA podcast, and then Sam Cedar of the Majority Report is going to join me next Wednesday. But on Tuesday, I will have an Ask Me Anything. So one of the perks of being a patron, a free patron, you send me a question. You can send it in through the Patreon. You can send it to the email hello@bituationroom.com. hello@bituationroom.com. Or some of you know bitiation@gmail.com. But hello@bituationroom.com. Send me your question. I will answer them all on Tuesday. And you get access to that because you're a patron. Now you're a patron. Bienvenidos a la Frantifa. And nos vemos martes. I hope you guys have a good weekend. And remember, fight the power, fuck the patriarchy, free Palestine, and don't just bitch about it. Be about it. Bye.